اللي صرنا بلاد الأرض دورنا وطيرنا وطيرنا
فينا الوفاء في حب مصطفى بالتزام وعصافة
All praise and thanks is due to Allah. I ask Allah the Exalted to increase the honor and raise the rank of our dearest Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his noble relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for it. From the 2MFM studio and broadcasting live via 92.1 FM and 2MFM.org, this afternoon is another episode of the show that keeps you connected, brought to you by your Community Connect host, Ola. Among the risks faced during extremely hot weather are heat-related illnesses, which to those who've never experienced one don't sound like that much of a big deal. But I can tell you from experience, heat-related illnesses are no laughing matter, and they are a big deal, especially if you're talking about something like heat stroke. While not exactly like the stroke that we usually hear about, a heat stroke also has the potential to kill you. And that's why I think you should all pay some very close attention to today's episode, because it may just save you a very unpleasant or possibly deadly experience during the next heat wave. So, ladies and gentlemen, stick around and take note of the upcoming important advice.
We deliver the message, oh, to the cat and the savage with bravery and courage, oh. Loving her.
I've made any secret out of the fact that I'm not a fan of summer. In fact, to simply say that I'm not a fan is a huge understatement. And the more accurate way to describe my sentiments about summer would be to say I can't stand it. I really, truly can't stand any part of it, including the long days, the humidity, bathing in your own sweat, the swarms of insects that emerge in droves, among an extensive list of other things that I won't get into now. To those who look forward to summer all year, you may find this difficult to understand or relate to, and I don't expect you to. Nor am I trying to influence your deep-rooted love for summer. But there is something that I'm sure we can all agree on as being annoying about summer, and that is the almost inevitable occurrence of heat waves, which I'm sure even the biggest fans of summer don't enjoy. After all, what's there to enjoy about breathing in hot air that feels like it's cooking your insides? Or feeling like your skin is baking just walking from your car to the front door? Or feeling like you've gained 10 kilos from the humidity-induced swelling? But that's all minimal compared to some of the other things we could face during a heatwave, including the risk of falling victim to a heat-related illness, which is not just unpleasant, but could be dangerous too. If you've ever experienced heat exhaustion or even worse, heat stroke, you too may have developed an aversion to summer after such a horrendous experience that made you feel like you were inches from death. And for many people, it has sadly ended that way. For that reason, and out of concern for my fellow community members, especially those who may be at a greater risk of falling victim to a heat-related illness this summer, today I've reached out to Dr. Addy Vias from the Environmental Health Unit at New South Wales Health to load us up with some timely advice on heat-related illnesses such as dehydration, heat cramps, heat exhaustion and heat stroke, and also tell us how to prevent them. That discussion is coming up soon. Make sure you stay tuned.
Taking a closer look at the relationship between heat and health, today on the program I'm being joined by Dr. Addy Vias from the Environmental Health Unit at the New South Wales Department of Health to give us accurate information and professional advice. Dr. Vias, good afternoon and thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Hello, Ola. Thanks for having me on the program.
Now, among the things that many people enjoy about summer is the opportunity to spend more time outdoors enjoying the sunshine, the surf and the scenery. But along with that enjoyment come risks that could ruin the fun and put our health in jeopardy, such as being exposed to intense heat. So, Dr. Vias, what potential health risks or ailments are associated with hot weather conditions?
Ola, there's a number of things we should be careful about when we're out in the hot weather. And I'll start by saying that we should always try to look after ourselves. Make sure that we're drinking plenty of water and watch out for the signs of being dehydrated. Another important thing is that we might want to reconsider when we do strenuous activity outdoors, and staying cool is quite important in that. Let me tell you a bit about some of the things to watch out for. So often we might start by having an impact. One of the impacts of heat or hot temperature on our health might be dehydration. So what this means is you might feel very thirsty, you might be sweating a lot, and you might be feeling dizzy or lethargic or tired. And these are some of the impacts of hot weather on our different body organs. So this includes your brain. That's why you might start feeling tired or dizzy. You might feel thirsty, and you might have dark urine because it affects your kidneys as well through loss of water. When you notice these things, it's time to drink plenty of fluids, stay cool, move indoors, or move to somewhere with air conditioning or a fan.
Now, how does the human body regulate its temperature under normal circumstances, and how can extreme heat interfere with that process?
Sure. Normally, the body regulates temperature by a few key things. So we have our own system within our brain and the hormones and also the kidneys. Mm-hmm. And the amount of water that we drink affects this as well. So you can think about it like this. When it's really hot outside, the body wants to cool down. The way the body cools down is by losing water, and we do this by sweating. In the process of sweating, though, we lose the fluids in our body. We might also, therefore, develop things like dark urine, and that's one of the signs that we notice early. That's when all of the impacts of heat on our body start developing, because we've lost the water that goes in our blood, and that blood moves to all of our bits of our body. So this includes the heart, so you might feel the impact of changes in your blood pressure. It goes to our kidneys, and when your kidneys shut down, that's never a good thing. And also the blood flows to our brain, and the brain needs lots of that fluid or the blood to be circulating to stay healthy. So basically, heat means that we get hot in our bodies. The body tries to cool down by losing water, by sweating, but then that loss of water in our bodies affects us through our organs, and then we feel unwell.
Now, what do we know about the incidence of heat-related illnesses in Australia, given that Australian summers are known to be quite intense?
Look, this really does depend on how much people are looking after themselves, staying hydrated, and also staying cool. That's really what affects how many people we see who might come to hospital. So a lot of us, if we're young and healthy and fit, might be just fine. We might feel a bit dehydrated, but then drinking water and staying cool helps us to get back on track. But if we're a bit older or quite young, so children, mm-hmm. and those who have existing medical conditions, they're a bit more vulnerable. So they might find it a bit more difficult to recover from being a bit dehydrated, and they might start developing some signs of more severe things like heat stroke, which is a medical emergency.
Now, what combination of weather-related factors give rise to a greater risk of being affected by heat-related illnesses? So, for instance, does dry heat or humidity have any bearing on the risk of developing a heat-related illness? And would, for example, spending time outdoors on a cloudy day, although it's hot, have any bearing on our risk?
The best way for us to understand our risk is we should keep it simple. So what we should look at is what's the temperature outside? So keep an eye out on the Bureau of Meteorology and other websites that tell you about the weather. Knowing the actual temperature is a good estimate, but also watch out for some media releases from our friends like the police force or the fire department and also New South Wales Health, because we do put out alerts when a heat wave is developing.
Yeah.
So if you're asking about some of the weather conditions, you know we've had a heat wave over the last week. And what that means is not only is the temperature really high, but also it's been high for a long time.
Yes.
Or it's been high in a period where you may not expect it. So a really cool week followed by a really hot week could have a bigger impact on our health. So it is a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
And also I'll mention another thing, which is air quality. So funnily enough, when it's really hot outside, some of the particles in the air that we breathe can affect our health as well. So this particle is called ozone. It doesn't really have much to do with the ozone layer because this is a bit lower and it affects what we breathe in. So hot weather leads to some ozone forming. We breathe that in and then it irritates our lungs. So again, the simple messages here are we stay out of the heat of the day. We stay indoors when it's really not good air quality out there. And keeping an eye out on the weather forecast and also other alerts from government is a good way to stay aware of these things.
I know we touched on this a little earlier, but can we just have a little repeat of the precautionary measures that should be taken on very hot days, especially for those who might be spending a considerable amount of time outdoors through maybe their work or something like that?
It's really important that we look after ourselves, and there's a few simple things we can do. Number one, drink plenty of water. But what that means is also we prefer water or fruit juice more so than coffee and tea and alcohol, because these things can actually lead us to be dehydrated, lose water from our body.
Mm-hmm.
So drinking water is the first thing. The second thing is staying cool is really important. So we can do this in a few different ways. If you have air conditioning in your house, that's great. But you might want to visit somewhere that does have air conditioning. And this can include public libraries or a shopping centre.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have those things accessible to you, staying in your house, but making sure that it stays cool by maybe using a fan, making sure your curtains and blinds are closed, or having a cold shower, these are some ways that we can stay cool. A couple of other things to mention, though, is to avoid strenuous physical activity. So those who do lots of exercise and they're out and about running and jogging and playing sports, that's well and good. It's a very healthy thing to do. But when it's really hot, so during the heat of the day, we should try to avoid these activities. We might want to postpone sporting events to the evening or have a picnic later on rather than when it's hot during the day.
Yeah.
But those who work outdoors, like gardeners or tradies, also people who work in warehouses, which can be quite hot, we should try to stay cool. And we can do that by drinking plenty of water and taking breaks every now and then as well.
Now, we all know that prevention is better than intervention, but as humans, we sometimes like to test our limits, and sometimes, perhaps through sheer oversight, we may find ourselves suffering the effects of scorching heat. In that case, and having bypassed the first line of defence, which is prevention, what are some of the symptoms to look out for as to be able to identify the earliest signs of heat-related illness and act on it?
Let's talk about it in two phases. So some of the earliest signs of being affected by heat include the things that we might associate with dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
So this includes being really thirsty, feeling a bit dizzy or tired when you wouldn't expect to be, and also looking out for things like really dark urine, because what this means is we've lost a lot of water from our body. So early signs include these things. You might also have heat cramps, which basically means some of the water has left your muscles. And together with that, you've lost a bit of the salt in your muscles, which you need. So heat cramps are another thing to watch out for, and these are some of the earlier signs. Thinking of the later signs, some people might develop nausea and vomiting. They might develop a headache or a really fast pulse, so they might feel their heart beating really fast.
Okay.
And other things, when we're really sick and develop heat stroke, or you might see someone like this on the bus or on the train, includes loss of consciousness, or confusion as well. When you see some of those things, it's time to think this is probably a medical emergency and you might want to call 000 at that time.
So what course of action should be taken if a person suspects that they or another person in their presence is suffering the symptoms of a heat-related illness? So obviously if it's gotten to that serious stage, we can call 000. But in the meantime, is there anything we can do to alleviate the symptoms?
Sure. Again, the two key things that help us to stay hydrated are important. So by making sure this person drinks some good amount of water and that they have been drinking water throughout the day is probably the simplest and most effective measure. But also staying cool. So if they're extremely, you know, feeling unwell from some of the signs of heat, then moving to a cool space like an air-conditioned room or having a cold shower, putting ice packs or cool packs on their body, that can also help.
Now, I understand some people will be experiencing nausea, and so that's going to pose a bit of a challenge in terms of getting them to drink water, because I know sometimes when you get to that point, you can barely keep anything down.
And that's why then you might have to start with maybe the second line of defence. So if we think about drinking water as your first line, the second line might be move to a cool room, cool down a little bit, and then once your stomach starts feeling a bit better, then you might try a little bit of water and try to really keep up with that, because it can be an effort, but it will help you in the long run and avoid you turning up in hospital.
Okay. Now I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We hear the terms heat stroke and heat exhaustion. Are they the same thing or are they different?
Look, they're a little bit different. So if we go into the science of it a little bit, there's probably, we can think about three parts of the heat-related illness. We might start with simply dehydration, which is less water in our bodies. Then we probably move on to stage two, which is heat exhaustion. And this results because of a loss of electrolytes and salt. So these are good molecules that float around in our body, in our bloodstream, and they help our cells work really well.
Okay.
That's what you start to lose when you lose too much water. So that's kind of stage two. And then finally, stage three is heat stroke. And this is a real emergency. And the reason for that is the body really can't cope anymore. So it doesn't regulate its own temperature really well. And so you might be seeing someone being as hot as 40 degrees in their body when you measure with a thermometer. So those are the kind of three stages to think about. Dehydration, when you've lost water. Heat exhaustion, when you've lost electrolytes and salt. And finally, heat stroke, when you've lost your ability to control your own temperature.
So basically stage three is when your body's kind of starting to shut down.
That's it, yeah. It's not a good thing.
So the next question I need to ask is, can suffering a heat-related illness result in irreversible or long-term damage? Or is it just one of those things where as soon as you get some water back in your system and get those electrolytes replenished that you'll just go back to normal?
Yeah, look, it really depends on how well you were to start off with. So normally fit and younger people would do quite well with going to hospital or even not going to hospital and drinking lots of fluid. Because that's what they will be doing for you in the hospital. They'll give you an IV drip and they'll be putting lots of fluids back into your system. But those who have existing conditions like heart disease or lung disease or kidney disease, even things like diabetes, they're just a little bit more vulnerable to some of the effects of heat. So in some really extreme circumstances, if someone has these conditions and they don't look after themselves during hot weather, they might end up in hospital with some of those bad signs like losing consciousness, being confused, or having seizures as well.
Mm, so it can have implications on other conditions that are currently existing.
That's right. And that's why we say again, you know, having a good plan is really important. Having a plan for yourself personally, like checking the temperature or the weather that's coming up, and also talking to your doctor about how to take your medications well.
Yes.
But also managing your home or preparing your home really well. So keeping your medications in a cool place, having air conditioning or fans available, and also making sure there's nice ventilation in your house. These are good things that we can do to protect ourselves, especially if we're a bit older. So we talk about people greater than 75 years of age, yeah, or also have some existing medical conditions. These things mean we should look after ourselves a little bit more and think about these things before they happen.
Yes, absolutely. Now, with heat-related illnesses covered, I think now would be a good opportunity to draw attention to another closely related issue that has seen authorities and emergency personnel issue reminder and warning after reminder and warning to the community. And that's the dangerous practice of leaving kids in locked cars on hot days. Now, unfortunately, despite the repeated warnings, week in and week out, we hear stories of kids being left in hot cars. So to help us reinforce this important message, what can you tell us about the serious consequences of leaving children in hot cars and the risks posed by leaving a child in a car on a hot day, even for just a short time?
This is an important issue. Basically, you can think about it as being in a room or in a small space where things get hot really quickly, and they can get really hot as well. So not only is it dangerous to be there, but it can also affect you sort of down the track. So the best thing to do is to make sure that people aren't staying in hot rooms or hot areas for a long time. The implications on their health relate to things like losing a lot of water. And remember that children don't regulate their body temperature so well. So children might feel the impact of heat a lot quicker. And children also run a bit hotter as well. So their body temperature normally is a bit higher than for adults. So this is some of the short-term things that we really need to be careful about. So making sure children are drinking plenty of fluids is important, mm-hmm, and that they aren't in a hot space for too long is very important as well. And also down the track, children who might have problems like obesity, or children can also have diabetes. These are important things where responding to heat appropriately is important again.
Okay. Now, in wrapping up, where can people find more information about heat-related illnesses?
New South Wales Health has delivered a fantastic resource called Beat the Heat. This is a website, so if you put into Google New South Wales Health Beat the Heat, you should be able to find lots of good fact sheets and advice. And these are also available in a range of different languages as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Dr. Vias, having reached the end of this very factual discussion, I'd like to thank you for enlightening us with some potentially life-saving information and advice. It's been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks very much, Ola. See you next time.
Thank you.
As we've established through that discussion with Dr. Vias, heat waves or long periods of extreme heat can have serious impacts on people's health. Therefore, planning ahead and being prepared for extreme heat is important for your well-being and survival. To further drive home that advice, let me just rehash what was said in that discussion, and in addition to that, I'll be giving you some additional tips. Mm-hmm. During extremely hot weather, it's easy to become dehydrated. That is, to lose too much water from your body or for your body to overheat. If this happens, you may develop heat cramps, heat exhaustion, or even heat stroke. If you suffer from any chronic health conditions, your condition may become worse during a period of hot weather. It is therefore important to plan ahead and be prepared to beat the heat. So, what happens to your body in extreme heat? It's very important that a person's body temperature stays in the range of 36.1 to 37.8 degrees Celsius. If the body temperature rises above this, a person may develop a heat-related illness. When the weather is very hot, the body has to work very hard and produce lots of sweat to keep itself cool. Under some conditions, sweating just isn't enough and a person's body temperature rises rapidly. This is more likely to happen when it's humid or when a person is dehydrated and cannot produce enough sweat. In addition, some people can't cope as well with hot conditions as others. For example, elderly people and people taking certain medications are less able to produce sweat. Young children also produce more body heat, sweat less, and have faster rising body temperatures. Exposure to high temperatures can make existing illnesses seriously worse, like triggering a heart attack, for example. It can cause serious permanent injuries as a result of untreated heat stroke, such as damage to the brain or other vital organs, and in extreme cases, it may even result in death. Everyone needs to take care in hot weather, but some people are at a higher risk of heat illness, especially if they live alone or are socially isolated. The people who are most at risk include those over the age of 75, infants and young children, people who are overweight or obese, pregnant or breastfeeding mothers, people who take certain medications, those who don't drink enough water, people living by themselves or those who are homeless, and people who work in a hot environment, such as labourers, gardeners, firefighters, and tradies. People who suffer from a chronic illness, for example, those who have heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer or kidney disease, and dementia, as well as those who have an alcohol or drug dependency, are also at a greater risk of being affected by hot conditions. Among the at-risk people are those taking prescription medications. If this applies to you, then you should note that many prescribed medications can make the risk of heat-related illness worse. Everybody on regular medication should visit their doctor to discuss how their medications could affect their health in the heat. As an example of this are people who take blood pressure medication. Some medicines for blood pressure can decrease a person's ability to sweat and can therefore reduce their body's ability to cool itself down. If you know it's coming, it's a good idea to prepare for the heat before it arrives. You can prepare yourself on a personal level as well as your house or apartment. So during the summer, make sure you regularly check your local forecast from the Bureau of Meteorology on your radio, TV or the internet to receive warnings about hot days or heat waves. This can help you plan your activities around the weather and help you avoid having to be outdoors in hot conditions. You should also get advice from your doctor about whether your medical conditions may affect you if it gets extremely hot. If you're a person who needs to be on a limited fluid intake, such as those on dialysis, speak to your doctor to check how much to drink in hot weather. People on medication should also check that you can store your medication at less than 25 degrees Celsius, because the medication can become less effective or occasionally toxic if stored at a higher temperature. So if you're unsure about any of your medications, check with your pharmacist. Equally as important as preparing yourself is preparing your house or apartment. So check your fridges, freezers, fans and air conditioners to make sure that they work properly, and make sure your air conditioning is set to cool. Stock up on food for your household and pets, as well as any medicines, to last up to a week so you don't have to go out in a heat wave. Also consider buying cool packs to have in the fridge or freezer to help you cool down if needed. This may come in handy in the event of a blackout. Put together a small emergency kit to plan for a possible power failure. This may include a torch, batteries, candles, matches, a battery-operated radio, and a first aid kit. If possible, have curtains with pale linings in rooms that get a lot of sunlight to help reflect the heat. Avoid dark reflective curtain linings and metal Venetian blinds, as they absorb heat and may make rooms even hotter. Consider putting external blinds, shutters, or some other shading on windows in rooms which face west. Insulate your house. Not only will this keep it cool in summer, but it will also keep it warm in winter. It's also a good idea to create a cool room or cool area to go to during extreme heat. This room or area ideally should be east or south facing in the house and can be cooled using indoor and outdoor shading and the use of a fan or air conditioning. If you live in or around bushland, scrub or grassland, consider the risk of bushfires, as they often occur on days of high temperature. Information on bushfire preparedness is available from the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, so make sure you keep up to date on alerts and warnings. So how do you stay healthy in the heat? Well, the first point to make is to drink an adequate amount of water. Drink water even if you don't feel thirsty, and check the colour of your urine. If it's pale, you're drinking enough, and if it's dark, you need to up your water content. Don't drink alcoholic, hot or sugary drinks, including tea and coffee, as they can make dehydration worse. What can you do to keep your body cool? Well, you can drink cold beverages and eat smaller cold meals such as salads and fruit. Wear light-coloured, loose-fitting clothes made from natural fibres such as cotton, and for obvious reasons, stay out of the sun. But if you need to go outside, don't forget to apply sunscreen and wear a wide-brimmed hat. It's also crucial that you plan your day around the heat. Avoid being outdoors between the hours of 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you don't have air conditioning in your house or your AC has conveniently broken down on you and you have to use a fan, put wet towels or cool packs on your arms or neck, or put your feet in cool water to increase the cooling effect. Also, take cool showers or baths because they can also help reduce your body temperature. Not that most people will have much energy anyway, but do your best to minimise physical activity. So if you are compelled to do household chores on a hot day, do it early in the morning when it's still somewhat cool. Of course, keeping your surrounding environment is super important as well. So here are some tips on how to keep your house cool. House by closing windows, shutting curtains and blinds, and opening windows at night if you can to let in the cool air. Use air conditioning if you have it and make sure it's set to cool. You have no idea how many times people have wondered why their AC wasn't cooling, only to find it set to warm. And if you don't have air conditioning, spend time in a cool place like a library or shopping centre. Locate the coolest room in your house and spend your time in it. This will often be on the ground floor on the south side. Again, I don't know who would be in the mood for cooking on such a hot day, but if you need to, try to use your stove and oven as little as possible. Let us talk about those heat-related illnesses in a little bit more detail. Heat-related illness includes dehydration, heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and worsening of existing medical conditions. The first stage in heat-related illnesses is dehydration. Mild to moderate dehydration makes the heart work faster and leads to a reduced amount of fluid available for sweating. Some of the symptoms that could indicate that you're dehydrated are dizziness, tiredness, irritability, thirst, bright or dark yellow urine, loss of appetite, and possibly fainting. Remedy yourself from dehydration, drink plenty of water or diluted fruit juice. Move somewhere cool, ideally somewhere that's air conditioned. If possible, use a spray bottle with water in it to cool yourself down. And if you start to feel unwell, seek medical advice. Heat cramps are something else that can happen in hot weather. Heat cramps usually affect people who sweat a lot during strenuous activity like sport or gardening in hot weather. The sweating causes the body to lose salt and water. The low salt level in the muscles may be the cause of heat cramps. Heat cramps may also be a symptom of heat exhaustion. Heat cramps are characterized by muscle pains or spasms. To stop heat cramps in their tracks, stop all activity and lie in a cool place with your legs slightly raised. Drink water or diluted fruit juice, have a cool shower or bath, massage your limbs to ease spasms and apply cool packs. Don't do any strenuous activities for a few hours after the cramps subside and seek medical advice if there's no improvement in your condition. if you've reached the stage of heat exhaustion, things are starting to get a little more serious. Heat exhaustion is the body's response to an excessive loss of water and salt through sweating. Those most at risk of developing heat exhaustion are elderly people, people with chronic diseases, and people working or exercising in a hot environment. If heat exhaustion is not treated, it can turn into heat stroke. So, what symptoms could indicate that you are suffering heat exhaustion? Heavy sweating accompanied by cool and moist skin. You can also have pale skin, a fast and weak pulse rate, fast and shallow breathing, muscle weakness or cramps, tiredness, dizziness, headache, nausea or vomiting, and fainting. You need to act quickly to reverse this, and you can do this by moving to a cool place. Remove excess clothing if possible. Take small sips of cool fluids. Take a cool shower, bath or sponge bath, and put cool packs under the armpits or on the back of the neck to reduce body heat. And of course, monitor yourself. If your symptoms worsen or if there is no improvement, seek urgent medical advice and call an ambulance if necessary. The most serious form of heat-related illnesses is heat stroke. In a person with heat stroke, the body temperature is not controlled properly. It occurs when the body temperature rises above 40.5 degrees Celsius. Heat stroke is a life-threatening emergency, and immediate first aid is very important, the aim of which is to lower body temperature as quickly as possible. So, what are the signs of heat stroke? A sudden rise in body temperature is one of the most significant of these symptoms. Red hot and dry skin, and skin will be dry because no more sweat is being produced. You could have a dry, swollen tongue, rapid pulse, rapid shallow breathing, intense thirst, headache, nausea or vomiting, dizziness, confusion, poor coordination or slurred speech, aggressive or bizarre behaviour, loss of consciousness, and even seizures or coma. In the case of a heat stroke, there is no time to waste, and you should immediately call 000 and ask for an ambulance. Get the person into the shade, lay them down, and give small sips of cool fluids if the person is conscious and able to drink. Bring their temperature down using any method available, like sponging with cool water, cool shower, spraying with cool water from the garden hose, or soaking clothes with cold water. Put cool packs under the armpits or on the back of the neck to reduce body heat. Do not give aspirin or paracetamol because they don't help and actually may be harmful. If unconscious, lay the person on their side in recovery position and check that they can breathe properly. If necessary, you may be required to perform CPR if the person has stopped breathing. Access a text version of this information, and for additional information about beating the heat, visit the New South Wales Health website at www.health.newsouthwales.gov.au and type in the words "beat the heat" into the search bar at the top of the page. The Beat the Heat advice guide and other related resources are available in a number of different languages, so make sure you check them out and direct your family and friends to them. Anyway, I think I've supplied you with everything you need to ensure you can beat the heat, and it's time for me to bid you all farewell for another afternoon. Thanks adieu to Dr. Vias for his valuable contribution to the program, and to everyone who tuned in to the program this afternoon. Until next time, please take care and stay safe.